Basically, like I said, I'm going around to all different people that had any shaykhus, and I'm getting...
I was in Lakewood in 1946. This month, September 46.
Where were you before that?
Before that, I was in Canada, in Merkez HaTorah.
Who was the Rashi there?
Rabbi Chazan.
Rabbi Chazan. Uh-huh. And so, where were you before? You came from Europe, right?
Yeah. I mean, you're not going to write a biography about me.
Yeah, but I like to know, to show how each kind of person, where they came from, it had something to do with the influence that the Roshiva had. So I want to show different types of people. I want to show they should have a feeling about that person, something about him. So well, it's the basic information.
I don't know. See, I really, since the Lakewood was a one-term, once-a-month situation.
I understand.
It was right after my wedding.
Mm-hmm.
I had other problems. I don't regard myself really as a Lakewood as such. Surely not as a Talmud of Reb Aaron.
But you were...
I knew Reb Aaron. Of course, he accepted me. And the Koil existed at that time of 40 people.
Uh-huh.
And there were...
Were you together with the Rabbi Hertzka?
Yes, Rabbi Hertzka, we were also together in Canada,
uh-huh.
In a Merkez HaTorah.
Uh-huh.
We were friends from there on,
uh-huh.
And I was friendly with some of the Kletzka Talmidim.
Like who?
Yosef. No. How come right now the name is Talmud of Reb Aaron? He doesn't live anymore. He was then in Chicago.
Oh, you remember his name?
Huh?
You don't remember his name?
Right now, I'm sure in a few hours I remember.
Okay. Oh, I'll find out. I'll put it
because
in.
Because he really got me in into Lakewood.
I would like to know who that was.
And Reb Aaron went by his recommendation.
Uh-huh.
And there was at that time Joseph Epstein,
yeah.
With whom I was together in a camp. You know, we were in an internment camp.
In Europe?
In Canada.
Oh, in Canada. Yeah. Where did you come from in Europe?
Germany.
Germany.
So I knew Joseph Epstein, I knew.
Uh-huh. He's also in the Mishnah.
No, he passed away this year.
I spoke to him the last year before.
Well, he was much longer there, and he had the right background. He came from the Communist Talmud.
What was your background in Europe?
I was, before the British put me into that camp and shipped me off to Canada,
uh-huh.
I was in Gateshead.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Prior to Gateshead, I was in Frankfurt Yeshiva,
uh-huh.
Robert Boyer's Yeshiva.
Oh.
So
then you came from Montreal to Lakewood.
I came from Montreal. I got married in August in New York.
Uh-huh.
And after marriage, I went to Lakewood.
What was that experience like? Could you characterize it a little bit?
It was not a successful experience.
Oh.
It was a hard time getting a chavrusa.
Uh-huh.
I also had a personal health problem.
Uh-huh.
It was not, that's why I say,
uh-huh.
I don't regard myself, not even as a Lakewood. Oh, you were in Lakewood, you know, right away it gives you a reputation.
Uh-huh.
I don't deserve that. I'm not a typical Lakewooder.
Okay, but I'm trying to say, what did you absorb in that time that you were able to, what you saw and...
I don't know, I was not used to this type, you know, you have to try to find your own chavrusa and uh-huh. you don't really get any guidance. Of course, a mashgiach was not a wachtvogel.
Right.
They had no shaykhus to him.
Uh-huh.
comes a Europe show with a different background and with best intentions, but it wasn't. It was.
Did you know Rabbi Yaakov Eisman?
Sure, I knew him.
I mean, I spoke to him.
The brother. Yeah, I remember Yanke very well, sure.
Was he, you were there at the same time?
He was there at the same time. But I don't know, was he regular there? I don't know.
No, he was there for a certain amount, but he was always close with his brother, so he had a connection all the time.
I remember Yanke Eisenman. I remember Kanarik. I remember at one time was there Rabbi Rotkin.
He's still around.
Yeah, real Talmud.
Yeah.
He always calls me every year still for when he has a dinner here. This year he didn't have a dinner. He had
he's
other
in Shemayim.
Yes. I remember him. And I remember.
Was Reb Dave here then?
Reb Dave, no, he visited. I don't think he was regular in the yeshiva. Later on, Reb Schneer came there and he was stayed there. But Reb Dave, I think, only came occasionally.
He wasn't like, in other words. I'm talking about Reb Dave Schwartzman.
Yeah, I know. I know. I remember him coming there. I visualized him. I saw him later too. So I remember these people. I had a Kletzker, Bornstein.
Bornstein?
He came later as Schochert. Was a real time with the Kletzker and Reb Aaron. So we had an agreement. He would learn with me Gemara and I would teach him English. But his heart was, all right, look, you get the idea. My experiences were not positive.
Okay. But did you have any experience with the Rosh Yeshiva himself?
Did I have what?
Experiences with the Rosh Yeshiva himself.
No, I later on, they always had came to Washington Heights, where I lived. And I was getting to the dinner once, the chairman didn't show up or something. So I was a chairman of one of these affairs. Otherwise, of course, I saw him in Rosh Hashiva when you, of course, everyone cannot help being impressed.
Well, give me some characteristics that you could describe it that impressed you.
The Rosh Hashiva had around him a kind of, I don't know what the English word is, aura.
An aura.
Aura. You could see he's a man of a higher madrega. You can see that he's an Odom Godel.
It was obvious.
He inspired me with respect and a certain fear, you know. In his presence, a Jäger, I'm from Germany, and I learned how to respect people, and you felt in his presence that this is a person who looks at you and knows what's going on. He had an air of Malchus around him, of sternness, you know.
Who?
Stern.
Stern?
Yeah, I think the word is sternness.
That means hard.
Yes.
Tough.
Yes. But I wouldn't call him tough, but stern. I mean, I also knew very well Reb Yaakov Kamenetsky. Reb Yaakov Kamenetsky, one felt once more relaxed. He would smile at you. And Reb Aaron was a person who smiled at you, at least not at me. Malchus.
No he question. Was like above everything.
Yes. Malchus. A big man.
Do you remember?
Very, very big.
Remember any of his shiurim, what he was, what his
no, I was not able to follow shiurim. Yeah. I did.
I mean, Father, the feeling that you got of the shiur, what was the scene like? What was the atmosphere of the shiur?
Well, obviously he was a big Talmud Chacham. I couldn't concentrate from beginning to end to follow the trend. I picked here, up here, and then afterwards there was always usually Eisenman went over the shiurim. At a time later, I saw Grotkin went over the shiurim for everybody, and I would listen to that too. But I was not able, and that Reb Aaron stressed very much.
What?
You couldn't, I think, whenever you had an interview with him or something, they would give him, he stressed that one should follow his shiurim.
Even though it was very difficult.
He was, I think that he impressed upon everybody that his shiurim are most important.
Any other observations that you recall of Han August that he had?
No. Go to Petoyer, you know. I was in Canada with Reb Elechazan for 3 years.
Yeah.
So I knew a little bit the Litvish type. I was together with Rabbi Portnoy, and as I said, from Kletsk was Yosef. I don't say interesting. He was even a Mechaber for Sefer. He had a shul in Chicago.
That's the man you were telling me about.
We were very close.
You don't remember his name, for sure.
Yosef. What's your name? Maybe I remember I called you.
My name is Bean.
How do you spell that?
B-E-A-N-E.
B-E-A-M-E, Bean.
B-A-M. My mother-in-law used to live in Washington Heights.
Yeah, what was her name?
Her name is Hirsch.
Hirsch.
She was a seamstress. She made everybody dresses and fixed things for them.
A dress makes things from Hirsch.
Yeah.
Was your mother-in-law.
Yeah. Now she's by us. She had a stroke. She's not well. She used to live on 186th Street.
Yeah, I was 181st. Yeah. So I remember, so that's what Reb Aaron, he stressed the shiurim.
Did you ever see him together with other gedolim?
No.
No.
No. I know he was the head of the Wat Hatzolah.
Yeah.
I know he was in the Agudas Rabbonim. He was very close with Reb Moshe Feinstein and Reb Yaakov Kamenetsky. I think all those three came from the same city in Europe, from Minsk.
They did? I didn't know that. They came from the Minsk of Gubernia, I mean. It's a section. Of course, Minsk is the capital of that country, and it's also the capital of that section.
They knew themselves from youth.
Yes. Well, they went together in Slobodka, that's why.
I see.
They were together in Slobodka, him and also Reb Reuven Grzowski.
Yeah, I knew Reb Reuven too. Otherwise, no. I didn't see him in contact with other Gedolim. I heard Musa Schmusen, I don't think so he gave.
He never gave Musa Schmusen?
I don't think so, I don't recall.
Do you remember an incident in maybe in your time that happened with somebody? He had to go to a certain certain kind of people, underworld people, to get people out of Europe?
No, I'm not aware of that at all. I read about him that he had an appointment with Morgenthau, who at that time was a secretary of the Treasury.
Yeah.
And he wanted to send things to Europe.
Yeah.
And Morgenthau didn't want to. So he talked to him very sternly.
Yeah.
And Morgenthau gave in. I know that.
Uh-huh.
I know that he went collecting money for the yeshiva, Reb Aaron.
Yeah.
It's that some people gave him $5.
Well, that time $5 was more, a lot of money.
No, it wasn't a lot of money.
No.
It was a bazillion. I think Reb Aaron once said, heavens is going collecting for this, one is mechapa for Bittur Torah. So I think that's what he said.
To go collecting is mechapa for Bittur Torah.
Yeah, the bazillion you have, I collect for,
bazillion.
Yeah, have kapura for Bittur Torah.
That's interesting.
I know of somebody who went with him, Fleischman.
Yeah.
Did you call Fleischman?
I don't know who he is. I never heard about him.
Well,
you're the first person that mentioned him. Fleischman?
Yes.
Where does he live?
He was, he is sick. You would not be able, over the telephone, you would have to visit him.
Where does he stay?
He lives in Flatbush.
What street?
I can give you his phone number.
What's his first name?
Rabbi Fleischman, what is his first name?
Yeah.
One moment. He went with Reb Aaron.
Yeah.
And he fitted into Lakewood. He was more the aggressive. You had to, in order to have your chavrusa, you had to...
You have to be assertive.
Very assertive, which I wasn't. And he has experiences with Aaron. He was pretty close to him. Now, one second. I may be able to give you his phone number. And then if you look up the Brooklyn phone book and compare the phone numbers.
Yeah, I can do it on the computer and I get ready fast.
Just one moment, please. Hello?
Yeah.
3 718.
Yeah.
372.
Yeah.
8552.
Okay.
He lives in the Brighton section of Brooklyn.
Brighton Beach.
But as I say, on the telephone he can hardly express himself. His mind is more or less all right, but he had a heart surgery and they gave him the wrong medicine.
Oh, gosh.
And that did him a lot of damage. But he knew. He went with Reb Aaron.
On these trips? On these collection trips?
Yes,
yes. Put him down. I come once in a while to Flatbush myself. My daughter lives there.
So he's... he lives in the Brighton area.
No problem. Everybody gives me some name, I look it up afterwards and I pursue it.
Well, are you writing a book or what?
I don't think I'm writing a book. I'm collecting these so people could hear it. And if somebody else writes a book, I'll give it to them.
So what is the purpose of your...
To get all of these impressions and build out of these many impressions, you build a picture of the person that we're talking about.
Are you yourself a former Lakewood?
No.
No?
No, I just live here for 39, I don't know how many, many years. And I was very impressed by what transpired here over the years.
Yes, unbelievable.
And I said to myself, where did this come from? So I said, that only could be from one person. So therefore, I want to get the reflection.
And the strange thing is that after this place grew tremendously after Reb Aaron's
era. Right.
When I was there, it was just that one building,
mm-hmm.
and we got $40 a week.
Yeah.
And for this, you had to wait a long time. And this $40 stayed for many, many years.
I know. I remember. Yeah. When I came, it was still $40.
And there was an executive director, Rubinstein.
Him I didn't hear about.
And
the Rabbi Siviak used to be by him.
No, that was after Rubinstein. Yeah. This Rubinstein, it doesn't live anymore. And when Reb Arendt wasn't there, over a weekend, Rav Henkin was there.
Oh, yeah? I didn't know that.
Yes.
He came to Lakewood?
Yes.
Oh,
he spent the Shabbos there.
I never heard that.
He gave...
That's very important news.
I heard once a schmooze from him.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. No, that happened, I think, a few times. So to speak, replace Reb Aaron.
So he did. So he had a certain relationship with Rav Henkin.
Yes, absolutely. Rav Henkin at that time, that was, I think, before Reb Moshe's time.
Rav
Henkin was the Poisek in New York City for the Erlacher Oilem.
Yeah.
They wanted to have, to ask a shal, it was Rav Henkin. At that time, my time was also there, Shmuel Kamenetsky.
Uh-huh.
And Schwese learned Bechav Ruses too.
Uh-huh.
Rabbi Epstein learned Bechav Ruses.
Which Rabbi Epstein?
Joseph Epstein learned Bechav Ruses. Rabbi Kanarek, of course, was also not around anymore.
He used to be in Peekskill?
Yes, that's his son.
That's his son?
Yeah, but I think he started it.
From a canary.
He was a communist. So.
Okay. Any other recollections?
Everybody got to every morning breakfast 2 eggs.
Yeah.
Which I questioned whether that was the right thing to give for young people.
Why? At that time they didn't know about
it. It's not healthy. Eggs every day for young people.
Today?
I don't think so.
Maybe at that time it was.
There was a Yiddish cook, I don't remember her name anymore.
Mrs. Berman?
Yes, Mrs. Berman, exactly.
So I wasn't there, but I heard the name.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Aaron, I think, gave always a Shia Friday between Kabbalah, Shabbos, and Marav.
So it was always...
That's what I remember.
That was on the Gemara?
Yes.
So it's all about 50, about half an hour, three-quarters of an hour.
Younger Weissmilk would give him the Haftola, would hold the candle,
yeah.
I remember.
Oh, very good. You give me nice information.
Yanke Weissmann was a ganzer, as you say in Yiddish, a ganzer Macher.
Yeah. They said he was a big Balkishman. They said.
And there was a Bochok who came at that time, Schiff, Yanke Schiff.
Oh, yeah.
Who became later the...
Raiden by Schiff, by the Duskarov.
Yes. This young, I remember, he was 17 years, and he learned with somebody, I haven't seen him for years, from Europe, I think a son of a Briscardian or something, small man, and I remember...
You don't remember his name?
No. And I remember that certain the impressions are vivid in my mind, how he belittled him.
Who belittled him? Rabbi?
No, this other, the much older Europeans,
yeah.
Belittled this young fish and tried to minimize whatever he said.
Mm-hmm.
And then this young fish obviously became probably outranked him quite a bit. And these are certain things which impressed me, either positive or negatively.
So he was very aggressive with Yankel Schiff.
Yeah, Yankel Schiff came there when he was 17 years old.
So he must have been a Balkishan.
Yes. Yes, that was obvious. Yeah. He was a Balkishan.
Wolf was there.
So that's it.
You have no more, huh? No more recollections. Do you remember Leigh Baron from Canada? He was there for a while.
He was after. Uh-huh. After I left in 1946, he came afterwards. When I was in Merkez HaTorah, it was Eliezer Portnoy, Rabbi Eli Chazan, Rabbi Yogel. Well, he had a
Shapsa Yogel?
Not Shapsa, his son. He later became the Boychen in Yeshiva University.
I remember him. I was in Yeshiva University, that's what I remember.
There was Merkez HaTorah, it was interesting. There was Faskowitz, son-in-law of Abraham Yoffen.
He's a rabbi in Williamsburg for a while?
His son now has a rabbon, has even a yeshiva in Queens, calls it Bess Yosef, I think. Calls it Madrigas Odom.
I remember him. Yeah. He took my apartment when I moved out of it.
This Faskowitz came from Bess Yosef. And there was a Moshe Cohen.
You're talking about Merkez HaTorah now.
That's Merkez HaTorah. It was a collection of literature from all different yeshivas.
So you got became.
But Leibel Baron came only later, after my. I never met him.
Because he worked for a Baron for a while. He did some, I guess, fundraising.
He became later, and Reb Chazan, we were a group.
Do you remember Rabbi Tikotsky?
Tikotsky?
Yeah.
I know him, but he wasn't at my time in Lakewood.
No?
No.
Oh, right, because he came from Shanghai.
Well, there were the one I knew in Canada, they all came from Shanghai. The whole group was
right, that's right. Rabaron also came from Shanghai. Rabaron, I mean.
Rabaron wasn't in Shanghai.
No, he wasn't, no. He was he
Miros, in New York, some Miros, the Talmud Torah people, the Beis HaTalmud people, they came from Shanghai.
Right, that's great. So you were, during the war, what were you in England?
What?
In the war time, were you in England?
I was in Gateshead until 40, May 40. Then the British took all the refugees and they made them prisoners of war. And they put them behind barbed wire and shipped them off either to Australia or Canada. And they kept us there until February 42. Then we were freed. And I lived in Canada for 4 years. And then I came to New York. And after Lakewood, my first job was in the Beis Yaakov Seminary in Williamsburg.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
What did you do there?
I was a teacher.
My sister went there, but much later. Much later than that. My Robertson Kaplan, right?
Yes, I was there. One second, please. Yeah, my wife reminds me that I still have a big program tonight. She's very right.
I'm sorry.
I was teaching there from 47 to 49.
It's before my time. I mean, for my sister's time, she wasn't born, she was only a baby, but she went there later on.
I had as a Talmid, I also taught psychology there.
Yeah.
I had as a Talmid Shmuel Kamenetsky's wife,
uh-huh.
and Eli Shvei's wife,
uh-huh.
and the daughter of Rav Kamenovitz, the Chone Levrucha. A very choshev class, unbelievable. Okay, so
okay.
I wish you lots of atzlocha.
Thank you
That's
very much.
That's pretty much all I remember.
Okay, could you give me some kind of like a final statement on your whole experience with Rav Aaron?
But don't quote me, you know?
Okay.
No, don't quote me. I don't like my name in print altogether. And especially not, as I said, yeah, I make it a point to tell people that I'm not the lake water, you know?
I
was unique in a way that from Washington Heights,
uh-huh.
I was the first who after marriage would go to a coil.
That was very strange.
That's very strange.
and
it was, as a matter of fact, opposed, but Rav Yosef Breuer.
I know.
I learned in his yeshiva in Frankfurt,
uh-huh.
as a man, and he was aware, and he was Masada Kedushin, and he approved of everything.
Uh-huh.
But I was the first. And I set an example to some others who became later quite important, like Guggenheim and Borchardt and so on,
uh-huh.
Amidim of Besar Talmud.
Uh-huh. So they went that way. Did you remember Mr. Bodenheimer?
I know Mr. Bodenheimer from Borum Park.
Yeah.
And his son was once, he was a principal in Goraya High School.
Uh-huh.
And his son was there.
Uh-huh.
But him I knew from Borum Park.
Yeah. Dr. Bodenheimer, they call
yes,
him. Dr. Ernst Bodenheimer.
Yeah, probably chemistry doctor.
He was, he was very close to Rav Aaron, I think, too.
Yeah. Yeah, he was a very wealthy person, too.
Yeah, he supported the yeshiva a lot. Okay.
Okay, if you have any more specific...
How about to meet you once, in person?
Yeah. Any specific questions, you're welcome to ask me.
Well, I'd like... They said the person from Chicago, his name was Les, is that correct?
No.
No, it wasn't that.
Is it a Talmud from Rav Aaron from Kletsk?
Yeah, they told me his name was Les. That's not right?
Yeah, left,
right. But he's not, he's a chef of
Yes.
He's the one. I asked around, they
told me left. I didn't understand first, I understood left, no, it's left, right.
Joseph left.
Right.
He from Kletz, right?
He was a Kletzka, in Kletzka, at your Talmud of Rebar.
Right. Okay.
He came from Shanghai.
Yeah, I wanted to verify that.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I want to make sure. Thank you very much.
Be much there.
What?
Be much there.
Thank you very much. I need a lot. Any bracha I could use.
Yeah, I still don't.
Somebody asked me, what am I doing? I'm writing a book. I said, no, I'm not writing a book. I'm writing a book how you have to do this. How you make such a thing is more than is harder than doing the thing itself.
Well, I still don't quite understand what you are doing, why you are doing. You say you don't do it to write for a book.
No, I'm doing it so that you could have a record of all these recordings, like a legacy, like it's like material. You collect the material, then you build a house with it. Some people I'll just supply the bricks, that's all.
You intend to supply it to somebody?
Eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I don't want to be the book writer.
Uh-huh, I see.
It's enough.
Yeah, but as I told you, I don't like to see my name in print.
Okay.
And you have to be... I made certain remarks which don't reflect so well maybe on Lakewood at that time, and that I don't want to be so also opposite.
I hear. Look, whatever it is, when I did it with Rabbi, what's his name, from Stanford, Right, Kathy Hershkowitz. He told me, he says, before you release this, make sure you go over it with other Talmidim, old Talmidim, they should censor it and take out what they don't think is right.
Right.